I have really missed being here, but I just haven't been able to come. And it's so good to be back. And, you know, I saw the ushers adding two rows of chairs. And I thought, that's great. That's very encouraging, too. And I just want to say how great the body of Christ is. A young man that I knew 45 years ago down south contacted me when I guess he read on Facebook that I had been sick. And he said, my church is praying for you every day. 45 years ago. And he lives in Michigan. So the body of Christ is really alive and well. And, you know, we tend to take it so for granted. But we shouldn't, because it's the best thing we've got going.
That's awesome. Bill, I thought you were just going to drop the mic. I'm out. Thanks, Bill. It's good to... I know. And that's it. Let's go home. You can go. How many of you guys know it's a good day at church if you get more than you thought you were coming for? Happens to me all the time. It's true, huh? Like, man, I need this. And God's old, take this. Yeah, I don't know how that works, but it seems to. Wow. More rain, huh? That's good. Lakes are filling up. Mountains are sliding around. All kinds of stuff's going on. Moving mountains. Wow. You settle down now. To separate you two. Too much Shelley. Wow. Worship was just amazing this morning. I just, they're not in here. The worship team, they kind of go out just to instantly kind of grab a hold of what was going on. They kind of go right out and then they come back in. And, oh, they're coming in right now. At least some of them. I was just going to say that you guys did awesome today. And you always do awesome, but I appreciate, you know, I know Allison is going, but I appreciate just how much heart and time they get here, obviously before all of us do, and practice and put all the time, but my battery died. How much heart goes into leading worship and you know, when you... There was years that I led worship before I came here, and when you get up there to lead people, you have to get everything, at least for the most part, you have to clear everything else out of the way. If you want to really go where God's going, you can't let everything else get in the way. Whatever else that is, all the stuff with school and work and parents and kids and whatever. And I just, you know, you guys are always bringing it, but I just appreciate you guys so much that, you know, you guys are, you sacrifice to bring it for us and to lead us to a place where we couldn't go without you. And so thank you so much. We love you and appreciate you. Yeah, and the sound team. Good job, Brendan. It's one of those thankless jobs, and nobody notices unless there's a loud squeal or the batteries die. And the video team and you guys just, and then our ushers too. It's just, and our greeters, everything, everybody, you know, chairs just don't magically appear. They actually get carried out, and just everybody that takes care of, and you guys taking care of everybody. And just amazing. I'm just blown away every time I come together and get to see you guys being family together. And what a cool place. All right. I want to talk about, there's actually a couple things I want to talk about, and I have a couple options of where am I in today. And we're just going to follow, we're just going to follow the Spirit the best we can. You guys all right with that? Most of you are probably used to that. We find out where we're going on our way. Yeah. But I want to talk about identity, and I want to talk, I love talking about identity. I believe that that God opens all the world to the people that know who they are. And what I mean by that, I know who we are in Christ. And that the freer we get, the more we discover who we were created, who He created us to be, the more of the world He lays at our feet. And I believe we're here, first and foremost, to answer the call to God, to come to God and to answer that call to His voice. But secondly, to be called to the world. And we're here to make a difference. We're here to impact the world. We're here to change something. All of us are here to change something different, but we're here to influence, to change, to make an impact. I believe that. I've believed that for a long time, and I believe we're all here to do that. The world is supposed to be different because you're on it. If He didn't need you here, He wouldn't have put you here. But He needs you. We need you. The body of Christ needs you. The world needs you. And so that's what we are going for in our pursuit of a powerful relationship with God. We learn who we are, and we impact our surroundings. And a huge part of that is kind of summed up in the word identity. You know, identity is knowing who or what a person is, or you know. And our identities are made up of a whole bunch of different things. But we've heard before that we become what the most important person in our life thinks we are. Basically, whoever we put at that most influential place in our life, we actually inevitably become that. And ideally, that's God. We get God in that seat in our life where what He thinks is the most important, and then we become what this says we are. So we're going to kind of talk about that. Are you all right? Okay. You're alive? You're awake? I know the rain makes you want to take a nap, huh? It does me. I just sleep until the sun comes out. Thanks. Yeah. And I realized too in the few years of being in ministry that there's a battle going on for our identity. There's a battle between God trying to give it to us and teach us it, and the enemy trying to trick us and steal it. There's this battle going on, and it's constant. You know, I actually can't remember the very first time that I accepted the Lord, but I can remember when I was 16 when it actually became real, when I heard Him for the first time. And from that point on, it may have changed earlier, but from that point on, everything changed. Because all of a sudden, my identity included Him. I didn't know where I would go or what I would do, but I knew that whatever I was going to do and wherever I was going to go, that who I was had to include what God thought about me. And so, if that was true, I had to go on this journey of like, what does God really think about me? Not what do people tell me that God thinks about me, because I was raised in a pretty conservative church. And if I was to just listen to what the church told me at that point, it was quite not encouraging what God thought about me. Maybe that's only my experience, so that's good. No, that, you know, we have that experience of, yeah, you know what I mean. And so I went on this journey to find a good God, somewhat accidentally and somewhat intentionally. Like, I just knew that God had to be good and that He had to be thinking good things about me. I didn't know how to word it like that probably yet, but it just felt right. And so I just started on this journey to find a God that was excited about me. And it started obviously with my redemption and Him sending Jesus so I can be forgiven. But then it starts in this life that He created and forgave me for to live. Does that make sense? How I said that? Maybe. We'll see. Okay. So anyway, yeah, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about identity. And I kind of want to talk a little bit about, we're going to talk a little bit about what I'm seeing and what I'm experiencing. And we're going to talk a little bit about, I don't like to give the enemy any credit unless we're kind of exposing him. I don't want to necessarily talk about the devil or the enemy unless we're exposing him and he becomes weaker after we have talk about him. Does that make sense? That's the direction we're going. So when I talk about it, when I mention the enemy, it's for the sake of a revelation that overpowers the lie that he's trying to sow into our lives and our community. And are you with me? Am I talking fast? I feel like I'm talking fast. I feel like I have a lot to say and want to let you guys go play in the rain. I believe that a strong... what I'm seeing is that the enemy doesn't have to steal, kill, and destroy if we're willing to give it away. And if he can convince us that we of a mindset that gives away our authority and power in Jesus, then he doesn't have to steal and kill and destroy it, or he destroys it in another way. Makes it easier. And I believe that the enemy is trying to make the world react. He's trying to make us a reactory group. Which basically, I don't know if that's a word, reactory. It is now. You can say anything. Yeah. Google it. But basically what I mean by that is that we become a response to whatever our surroundings are. The enemy is convincing us, and we're seeing it. You guys are seeing it too, if I'm explaining it right. That what we can be or what we are as our personal identity is a response to our surroundings, product of our environment. And if the enemy can convince us that that's true, that you're just a response, that's the best you can do. Then he wins this battle over your identity, because your identity will just be connected to whatever is going on around you. And how many of you guys know it's not always good what's going on around us? And what happens is we give our identity away to negative circumstances. And we become what's happening to us. So, I believe that that's a lie. The enemy wants you to believe it that it's that way. That it's kind of the, if this, then I have to do this, or I can't do this because of this, or I have to because of this. And the truth is, we live from the inside out. Luke 6:45 says, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, in living from the inside out, from where the Holy Spirit lives, as a believer, we get to live from that place outward. The enemy's trying to convince us it's the other way around. That you are what's happening to you. When life is scary, you should be afraid. Instead of, when life is scary, you have hope, peace, some of the stuff we were praying for today. Yeah. Isn't it funny how the enemy tries to switch things around, and sometimes it just totally feels true. How can I be something different when this is happening in my life? And God wants us to take, God wants to take us on this journey of continual revelation of the purity and freedom that we have through Jesus, because we live from that place. The enemy convinces us we don't. But the fact is that it has to be in here before it's out there. It just does. The enemy says, oh no, it's not your fault, it's this. Something's happening, that's why you feel that way. But actually, no matter what, you live from the inside out. That's what I think. The enemy has no victories but the ones we've given to him. I'll say it again. The enemy has no victories but the ones that we've given to him. We have to get excited about replacing lies with truth. And I don't mean replacing other people's lies with truth. That's important. I don't mean you like figuring out where everybody else is believing a lie and trying to get the truth into them. Believe me, we have plenty of lies in here that we're believing to take a lifetime for God to sort out. And what's amazing is once you live out a truth that you've overcome, a lie that you've overcome, and living the truth, people around you, close by you, begin to see that truth and get set free. Not because you found a lie in their life and quoted verses to them, but because you are living a truth. There's something really powerful about watching somebody who's in a horrific situation that's walking in peace. It's just, it's boggling. It's amazing. Yeah. So replacing lies with truth. I want to throw some out there and some truth out there that I believe are some just simple but really powerful truths that sometimes, because maybe they're so simple, we tend to forget how powerful they are. But you guys, most of you will probably know this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. It's funny, we've heard that verse. Maybe we could quote it. But how many times do we feel like that's not true? That we feel like the old hasn't gone. We feel like not a new creation. You know, that this idea that the enemy's saying, like, you can't just leave that behind. I don't mean the consequences of poor behavior. Understand, like, the consequences tend to have to be worked out. But what we're talking about is not the outside, we're talking about the inside. That sometimes we have to walk through the consequences of who we used to be, but that doesn't mean we still are who we used to be. Will someone look up for me Ephesians 1:7? Who's got a Bible? Does anybody have a Bible? Ephesians 1:7. And someone else look up Colossians 1:13 and 14. Just kind of some more good truth along the same line. Yeah, one of the most powerful truths that destroys a whole group of lies is I am forgiven. It's really hard to be who God created you to be if you can't get over that hump, that mountain. It's this revelation that I am forgiven. All right, so who's got 1:7? Go ahead, OT.
In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, and according to the riches of God's grace.
So what's it in accordance with? The riches of His grace, not the abundance of good behavior or your ability to stop making mistakes. Your forgiveness is available because of the abundance of His grace. That's it. What an awesome revelation. But what if I... No, there's no but. What if I... Anything. Now, I believe we can break God's heart by doing dumb things. Don't get me wrong. Like, I think we can do that. But it doesn't undercut the fact that He forgives us. Not according to our behavior or our... how many times we sin during the day or what our thought... He forgives us according to the abundance of His grace. We can't forget that. The enemy wants to continually remind us that that's not part of our identity. But the fact is that it is. There's nothing more powerful to an accusation than I am forgiven. Not just the words, but the identity. Oh, I know you brought that thing up. I remember that. But I'm forgiven. Yeah, I remember that mistake I made. Oh my goodness, that was ridiculous. What was I thinking? I can barely even think. What was I thinking to get... But man, I'm forgiven. All the power, all the manipulation, all the lies that are connected to our past melt away at the revelation of I'm forgiven because of the abundance of His grace. Such a good one. Does someone have Colossians 1:13? You want to read it? Are you just stretching? Yeah, go for it. Read it to us. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So how do we have redemption and forgiveness of sins? Through His blood. Yeah. Seems simple. I think we're just... we have this constant nagging pull to earn what we get for free. I don't know why. I've been teaching this for a long time. It just is so overwhelmingly good, it's hard to even grab a hold of. Free life, free forgiveness that you can't earn, that you don't deserve, but you still have it. It's just overwhelming. And I think because of that, our human nature says you've got to... An enemy, of course, backs that up. You've got to earn it. There's no way that this is free. Nothing's for free. And yet over and over we read that it is. It's a free gift because of love. Yeah. So here's another one. This is one that I've just been seeing and just lies that contradict this idea. But the fact is that we are significant to God. It's true that you are significant to God. Now, I know that this one isn't as popular. And maybe it creates some responsibility or some ownership. But nonetheless, I believe that it's true. John 15:16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last." You've been chosen and you've been appointed. And because you've been chosen and because you've been appointed, you are significant. You're significant to... We started off by talking about identity and why it's so important to have our identity intact as we have it through Jesus Christ. And that's because you are significant. He redeemed you first and foremost to hear the call and return into communion with God and relationship with God, but secondly, to be called to the world, to influence the world. And you are significant. The world will be different because you are in it. He put you in it to change it. Maybe some of us will change thousands of hearts and influence thousands of hearts, and some of us will influence three. But God doesn't love any more than any more. Than any less? I don't know. You know what I mean. I've seen God spend ridiculous amounts of resources on one person. Yeah. It's a good thing I'm not God. I look, I'm like, that's a poor investment. How many of you guys, you know, it's like, I don't know if I was worth all that investment. All the people, all the lives, all the hours of prayer, all the everything that it took to get us where we are. Aren't you glad that God's extravagant? And He cares more about you than the people sitting around you. I know that might be revelation, but it is true. Even the people that absolutely love you, He cares more. He would spend more resources. He'd bankrupt heaven just for you. And we see it, and it's like, that's crazy. Where did my mic? No, it's still there. Sound like it went out again. All right. Are you guys all right? You okay? No, thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Keeping it real. I love it. Thank you, Tom. By the way, Tom is speaking next Sunday at our sunrise service at 6:30. And so come and, yeah, hear him share. Yeah. Oh, ta-da! I just asked him yesterday, so. But it's going to be awesome. Anyway, stop distracting me, Tom. All right. John 3:1. Man, there's so many good verses. There's so much good stuff in the Bible. I love it. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. It's John 3. 1 John 3? Oh yeah, sorry. It's on my other line. 1 John. That was a test. Four of you passed. So there's these three these three places that these battles for identity are happening. Who was I? We talked about forgiving. Who am I? We just read about we're children of God. And who can I be? We talked about the bearer of good fruit, that we've been chosen and predestined to bear good fruit. We need to overcome who we were so we can discover who we are and have hope for what we can be. What a journey that we get to be on. Sorry, I'm just kind of processing through where we're going to go next. One of my favorite stories, I love the story of Gideon. It's one of the greatest, if you want to turn to the story of Gideon, it's Judges 6, but we're going to read the whole thing, but grab a couple pieces out of it. Just an amazing story where Gideon is basically hiding out, trying to, basically doing life, but kind of doing it in secret, to be safe from his enemies and the enemies of God. And basically the Lord comes to him and says, "The Lord's with you, mighty warrior." The greeting that he greets this man that is not what his circumstances do not match what God says his identity is. It's such a great picture of how God believes in us before we believe in ourselves, and that we find who we are in Him. We saw it with Peter when when they're sitting there and Jesus quizzes them on who do you say that I am, and he answers it, and then God says, Peter, you're the rock. And he begins to declare who he is and his destiny in the church. And we see that as we find these revelations, as we uncover revelations of who God is, he reveals back to us who he created us to be. Anyway, he meets Gideon, and then it's just, I love the story, but basically Gideon kind of argues with God for a little bit of like, I think you're wrong. And anyway, he ends up giving in, and God, of course, sends him on this plan to free his people. And Gideon goes out and comes up with this plan, and God changes the whole plan and takes all his people away, and then it ends up that it all works, of course. But there's a line in there where he talks about in... sorry, I'll tell you so I don't... In 6:14, it says, the Lord turns to him and says, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Now, what's amazing about this is God gives him the opportunity to do it on his own. And the only power that he's giving him is that I'm sending you. Are you not sent by me? That's enough. I said you should go do it. You've got the power to do it. Go in your own power. Am I not sending you? I've said that you're supposed to do it. That's enough. Of course, Gideon still stumbles a little bit and chokes over the idea that this is going to happen. And, you know, declares what his reality is based on his circumstances. He says, but Lord, that's such a dumb statement. But Lord, listen, let me clear some stuff up for you. I think you misunderstand. I don't know where you've been, but this is actually what's real. Yeah. How many times do we do that? All the time, huh? But God, listen, I don't have the money. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, it says, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. I'm too small. I don't have the resources. I don't have the popularity. Who's going to follow me? The Lord answered, now this is awesome. He says, I will be with you. You'll strike down the Midianites together. He says, okay, you don't believe in yourself yet. I guess I'll come along. No longer will I send you. He's not sending him anymore. All right, we'll go together. You don't have the confidence to be sent, so we'll go together. That'll be all right. Now, we're in a whole bunch of different places across this room, across this nation. All the Christians are in it, but basically we're all being sent. Right? From the Great Commission, we're all being sent. We go back to the beginning of this message. Like, our purpose here, first and foremost, is to be called to go into relationship with God, but secondly, is called to the world, to change the world, to influence the world, and to lead people into an encounter and a relationship with God. We're all called to do that. Some of us are like, okay, God, you're sending me, I'm going to go, and I'm going to go for it. And some of us are like, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. And there's these different parts of how we work with God, but it's all this, it all comes from faith and believing that what God says, He means. What God says, He means. Whether He's sending you this way, or whether He's walking alongside of you this way. Obviously, like, He's not sending you going away from God. That's not what... Hopefully you guys understand that. I mean, He's always with us, and He's... But there's different ways that He works with us. Maybe that is a better... There's different ways He partners with us. But it all comes from this understanding, this identity revelation, that what He says, He means. And when we look into the Scriptures and we find the things we've been reading, and we go, okay, God, what You say, You mean. I am forgiven. I was created for good fruit. You chose me. You're sending me. I'm a child of God. These things that we sometimes take them with, they sometimes lose some momentum when they get into churchdom. When they come into our conversations, oh yeah, I'm a child of God, or And they just lose that, the fact that we're a child of God. Oh yeah, I'm forgiven. We're going to talk about, you know, next week. You'll start hearing, He is risen. Maybe even now, Palm Sunday, He's risen. We're going to celebrate it next week. And sometimes on Easter and before, we forget the power of that. He is risen. And not just is He risen, but because of that, all this is true. He brought a whole new reality, a whole new world, a whole new life. That we no longer have to be subject to our circumstances, but our circumstances can be subject to us. That we can actually have peace when we can't find it out here. How do we do that? We live from the inside out. And we have the Spirit of peace inside of us. How do we not have fear when everything seems scary? Because we live from the inside out. God's not afraid of anything. How do we have self-control when our entire life around us is completely out of control? We live from inside out. We believe what He has said about us. In order to do what He's called us to do, you need to believe who He has called you to be. I'll say that again. In order to do what He's called you to do, you need to believe who He has called you to be. In order for Gideon to actually do what God was saying that he was going to do, he had to believe what God told him in the very beginning. God's with you, mighty warrior. If he stayed there and decided, like, that is just not the circumstances that I live in, who knows if he could have done what God called him to do. It had to start with, and he worked it out with God, of course. It wasn't like, oh, all right, yeah, I believe everything you say. No, there's a working out. There's a process. But the fact is that he had to take a hold of that revelation, that identity, that I am who God says I am. And because I am, I can do what God says I can do. You guys all right? You ready to... Ephesians 1:3. We're going to end with this. I love Ephesians. It feels like that book was written to us. You can just do with that statement whatever you want. Wherever that lands. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. How many?
Everyone.
All of them. For He has chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with the pleasure of His will. To the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. I love to think about, I get to be who I am. What does that say? In accordance with His pleasure and will. He's pleased when I get to be me, who He created me to be. He's pleased. It's like the closest thing I can think of and connect it to in my mind is when I teach my kids something and it helps them. That's the closest connection I can make that God might be feeling, is that when I actually tell and teach my kids something, that helps them. Whether it's a life skill, I mean, the greater the help, the greater the feeling of like, wow, that must be what it feels like. The pleasure in accordance, like my will is for my kids to thrive and love Jesus and be happy and free. And how much greater is God when His will and pleasure for us to become who He created us to be. And so when He teaches us something, when He's chosen to deliver something through Scripture, and then we actually learn it, and it changes our life and helps us. That's amazing. It must feel amazing. It's God's pleasure and His will for us to walk in our identity. It's amazing. So humbling and just so amazing to think about that before we believed in Him, He believed in us. That's just amazing. It's humbling. I want to do something again, just a little different as we end. We talked about forgiveness, and I believe that our identity starts at the cross. There's a reason why I haven't talked about this in a while, but there's a reason why the cross hangs in the back of the church. Why the cross is behind us, so to speak. It's in front of me, behind you guys. Because we believe that life is on the other side of the resurrection. And God brought life to us through what we're going to celebrate next week. Through the resurrection. And the fact is that the best place for the cross, and this is, I'm not declaring theology, it's more an idea. And I'll let it rest at that, maybe. But basically, that the idea that we pass through the cross into life, and the best place for the cross is right behind us. We never forget that that's how we got where we are. And that there's only life on the other side of the cross. The only access to freedom, true identity, forgiveness, is on the other side of the cross. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You guys remember the old drawing with the big cavern and the two cliffs and the cross goes across? I don't want to live on the bridge. I want to live on the other side of the cross. So I really felt strong this morning that I wanted to end with, which I don't do this a whole bunch, but I kind of want to end with an invitation, and it goes a couple different ways. But first and foremost, an invitation to salvation and to accept the forgiveness that we've been talking about, to come in front of the cross and then to pass through the cross into life. To accept the truth and the reality that Jesus died on the cross. And because of that, we have abundant life and we have forgiveness. I believe the first most important revelation to walk in your identity is being able to look in the mirror and say, through Jesus, I am forgiven. The old has passed, the new has come. I am a new creation because of that cross and what was done there by the Son of God, by the blood. If we don't start there, we don't end in the right place. We're not facing the right direction. I mean, how many of you guys know people have taken stuff out of here and ended up in a lot of different places? Yeah, so first I want to just kind of pray us through forgiveness, and then secondly, I just feel like there's something really strong on forgiveness, And if you feel like you're already on the other side of the cross, but there's this, there's maybe some baggage that you drug through. Some stuff that you've held on to and stuff that you know, you know, because you've, but yeah, that you're struggling to know your forgiveness, maybe. I'm not totally sure how to word it, and I don't just want to keep talking until I get it, but yeah, that there's something in another revelation of forgiveness, another revelation of new creation. I want to pray for those two. Sure. Dixon's going to share, and then we're going to pray.
So this whole morning I've just been sitting at the edge of my seat. I can't not share this. And when Cameron was just sharing about, you know, that thing that, you know, maybe we brought it through with us. God has already taken the mountain. I'm going to say that again. God has already taken your mountain. And whatever it is, you know, in this invitation in life, whatever it is that feels like it's between you and fullness, it feels like it's between you and God, it might be like, oh man, there's this huge pile of sin, or whatever it is, it feels like it's, you know, it might be like, I'm just, whatever it is. Whatever that mountain is, God has already taken the mountain. And here are a couple of things from Scripture. This is how God deals with mountains. Mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. So we talk a lot about God moves mountains. They melt like wax in His presence. Whatever it is that feels like it's between you and fullness, life, God, whatever, melts like wax. There's a Scripture that's kind of popular in church. If you know, if you don't know it, just know it's kind of popular. This is the word of the Lord, not by power, nor by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Well, guess what the very next line is? Who are you, O great mountain? You shall become a plain. This is an angel that's speaking to Zechariah. It's not by our power or strength. It's by the Spirit of the Lord that mountain, it's no longer there. It's gone. And if for anybody here, I'm going to hand the mic back over to Cameron, but for anybody here, like, you've just been listening, you've been feeling stirred about something, whatever it is, God's already taken the mountain. Now is the time.
That's good. Thank you, Dixon. I want to say this too, is that entering into the kingdom, accepting forgiveness, is first about faith and second about knowledge. It's first about faith and second about knowledge. One of the things that trips us up a lot is just, I don't know. I want it to make sense. I don't know. And that isn't to manipulate you into doing anything. It's just to let you know. I mean, that's how I live my life. Maybe it's obvious. First about faith, second about knowledge. But it really is true that it's very rare that we know before we believe. The knowledge of the Lord meets us in faith. It meets us in believing. Very rarely does it meet us in knowing. And then we get to know. I mean, there's secrets revealed and revelation. All those things come and happen. But it's first in faith, second in revelation. So will you all stand with me? And I'm not totally sure. Maybe Dave, if you could come up. I know you're up. Or whatever. A team or something happens. We process better with music somehow. I don't know why God did that. Created melodies for us to grab a hold of. But it works. Yeah, so I'm not going to draw this out longer than we need to. I just want to invite you to, in those two ways we're talking about, whether it's, and like Dixon was talking about, no matter where you are in your process, you've been a Christian for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, or you're not a Christian at all, don't consider yourself a Christian. Whatever it is, if you see a mountain in front of you that looks like it needs to be moved in order for you to enter into fullness, like Dixon was talking about, there's an invitation for that this morning. Whether it's the first time or the 40th time. That like, oh my goodness, another mountain. Or that mountain's always been there. I never even knew it could move. I thought I had to figure out how to climb it. And figure out how to survive in the snow at the top. To finally figure out. But that God actually wants to level it out. If that's you, I want to actually... I really feel like God wants us to move. And so I want to actually invite you up front. You don't have to come up front. In fact, you don't have to be anywhere in order to accept the freedom of God. You don't even have to be here. But you are here, and I have the microphone, and I'm inviting you up front. If there's a mountain, anything from a molehill, a pitcher's mound, to Mount Shasta, there's something in front of you. I think there's an invitation, a special invitation on this morning, that God's melting mountains like wax. There's another level of forgiveness. And I just want to especially invite, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've never said, I need you. I need to be forgiven. Without you, I'm a sinner. And I invite you to come up. There's no time like the present. To you. Your hands out in front of you, and this kind of receiving mode. So God, we thank you that you sent your Son to die on the cross to move the mountain of sin in our lives. Not the mountain like there's a bunch. The mountain like it's impassable without you. Thank you, Lord, that you sent us the way in Jesus Christ. That he is the way, he is the truth. He is the life that we get to live in freedom. thank you, Lord, that you're a mountain mover. Thank you, Lord, that you're the Redeemer. We thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. And I want to leave, kind of close this morning with this question. I'm just kind of asking this question in our hearts. Who am I in you? God, who am I in you? That we open ourselves up continually for the revelation. How do you see me, God? Who am I in you?